Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Hello, thank you again for joining us today on Unapologetically Catholic. This is Susie Furtwängler, principal of St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School.
And I'm Betsy Edgerton, development and outreach coordinator for St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School. We're glad you've joined us again, and we welcome Conrad Concannon, who is the GRACAC athletic director. Welcome, Conrad. We're glad you're here.
Thank you both. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The very first question that lots of our listeners might be asking is, what in heaven's name does GRACAC stand for? So how about you enlighten us?
Well, GRACAC stands for Grand Rapids Area Catholic Elementary Athletic Council. It is the athletic league that our 5th through 8th Catholic elementary schools participate in all the sports, fall, winter, and spring. So just I'm athletic director of the whole league and make the kids play sports. So
excellent, excellent. But say that one more time. GRACAC stands for the acronym. It is Grand Rapids what?
Grand Rapids Area Catholic Elementary Athletic Council.
That's a mouthful.
Yes.
That is.
So much easier just to say GRACAC,
right.
Isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Agreed.
So, and we invited you to join us because we're very excited. You have a new role within the diocese that was just recently created, mm-hmm. and we'll get to that in just a few moments. But as always, Susie and I are curious about how you arrived at where you are today, not here in the radio station, but where you are in your position with the diocese. So tell us a little bit about your background. Include personal family, your education, your faith journey. Why don't you do that for us?
Well, sure. Let me start off by just saying that I come from a Catholic family background. Both of my parents attended Catholic schools. My mother went to Blessed Sacrament. My father went to St. Francis back in the day.
Absolutely. I have friends that went to St. Francis.
Yes, the glory days back then.
Absolutely.
My mom went to West Catholic. My father went to Catholic Central. So I've been involved and grew up in a Catholic background my whole life. I made my way to Holy Spirit, K through 8, 8th grade. Graduated there from 2005. Made my way to West Catholic, graduated there in 2009. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Grand Valley State University. I started as a business major. Wasn't really sure exactly what I wanted to do. Just figured out that I needed to do something that I liked. So I did change my major to sports management. Loved it. Loved every second of it. And I think it was the best decision I ever made. Ended up graduating there this past April or last April 2014, spring. And along the way, after schooling, while I was at the end of schooling, I did some internships and field work experience. And some of those included work in GRACAC. I was a coach for Holy Spirit basketball, boys basketball last year, and did boys baseball as well at Holy Spirit the previous years before that. In addition to that, I internshipped with the West Catholic Athletic Department, helping out at their home events, mostly football and the fall soccer and basketball and volleyball events like that. So it was just very good to, get my feet wet in the athletic department and something that I hopefully see myself down in the future in high school or college athletic department. Some of my other working experience, my whole life has been pretty much revolved around sports and runs my life, so I like to be involved as much as possible. GRACAC actually provided me my first job when I was 16 years old. I started officiating basketball and baseball. I've officiated basketball for the past 8 years since that, when I started when I was 16. And baseball I did on and off for about a few years. I like officiating basketball a lot more, but so I've been involved with GRACAC a long time. In addition to playing at Holy Spirit when I was there, played all three seasons, 5th through 8th grade, football, basketball, and baseball, and a little bit of soccer. So I'm very involved with GRACAC. I am familiar with the people who are involved with it, the schools, and just very excited to be the new athletic director and to see what the future has in store.
It sounds to me, actually, you and I could just spend the next hour talking about basketball because I'm an avid, rabid fan, really. But I will step away from that and get to the point of why you're here.
Betsy.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But I want to say, first of all, obviously you are very, very passionate about athletics and what that, and we're going to kind of break it down in a moment about how you find it as another way of educating our children within the Catholic schools. So we'll get to that in a moment. But for me personally, having attended a Catholic school within the diocese, raised our children in a Catholic school in the diocese, and also coached in the diocese as a volunteer, I personally see that it's an opportunity, it's a teachable moment to work with our children to teach them about faith. And I want to explore that a little bit more with you. As the new athletic director, do you see that there's a place for faith on the field right alongside that football player, or in the concession stand right alongside that parent volunteer, or in your case, the referee with the whistle around their neck? Do you see those as opportunity to bring Christ into our children's lives, or is it just an extracurricular?
Sports is definitely an opportunity to bring, you know, that faith-based center to our courts and fields. As my superintendent has been telling me, we want our games and sports and, you know, schools to be just an extension of our classrooms. Mm-hmm. We want everything to be about Jesus, about following his way and just acting that way on the court, and just, you know, how we behave and how we take accountability and all those other life lessons that sports teach us. So we definitely, that's our goal, is we want everything to revolve around that. That's what makes our league distinctive from the others. And, you know, we want to continue to do that. For example, before every game, we circle up at half court and we say prayer, which, you know, that doesn't go on in other places, but it does in the Gray Sack because that's what this league is about, you know. So we definitely feel like Jesus is the center of our athletics. It's not just something on the side as an extra, but it's part of the journey. And, you know, we embrace that, and that's what makes our league different. And it's all about.
I know on the school level, we often see on the court and out on the field examples of that being played out by the children. I can imagine, though, as an officiating person out on the field, or even as a coach, you could probably tell a few stories yourself of times when the kids just kind of did something out of the ordinary to be Christ to someone else on that field. Can you think off the top of your head of anything that comes to mind?
There's just times, you know, when close games and some kids are, you know, the losing end of kids, they, you know, they're pretty down, they're upset about the game, and you got the other kids on the other team coming over and just offering them a handshake, a good game. Both teams usually shake hands after the game, the coaches as well, but nothing too in particular on that level. But
there's a famous story, just, and it was probably a year before your time, of our soccer team that held up another school who had lost a member of their soccer team, and actually they had the other team had lost in the playoff situation, and our team went to the next level and took that trophy right over and presented it after their championship game. And again, having been a parent who not only watched our children play, but also volunteered as a coach, you see that every day on that court or on that field, that people are in this not just for the athletic moment, you know, that thrill that happens when they make that touchdown, but also for the faith. That it's quite impactful to have your child in their uniform. Mine in particular had the little orange sticker on the back of his helmet because he was a little bit heavier, but to see them holding hands and praying, you know, I mean, it takes your breath away. It's what makes, for me, another dimension of why we send our children to Catholic school. So
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, and that's what we hope to continue, and just continue to make the league more distinctive in that way, just a center of Jesus and faith-based league. So
in this new role of yours, which obviously it is pretty new for you, it's just a year out of graduating, tell us what your goals are. What is it that you are set out to do to make our Gray Sack group, make them stronger, better, more noticeable of their faith. Tell us some of your ideas.
Well, sure. As you mentioned, this is a new position. The Grace Tech League has been around for a long, long time, and this is I am the first person that has been labeled to be fully committed 24/7 to this job. And
what does that involve, do you mind my asking?
My main roles?
Yes.
My main role right now is as a communicator, just making sure that everyone has the right information they need in a timely and efficient manner that can regard scheduling or just announcements in general.
Mm-hmm.
My main goal since I started in November has just been finalizing, just getting the communication better,
mm-hmm.
Improving that day by day. And some of the ways we've been doing that, we do have a GraceAct website,
mm-hmm.
which is graceact.com. And right now, a parent volunteer manages our website on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we want to put on the GraceAct website goes through them, which takes a little time, they're busy. They do it on the side from their own job. So sometimes things get up there. They're not updated.
Mm-hmm.
They're not current. So we actually are in the process of making it so that I can gain that on a daily basis, and I can have full access, as you might want to say, and I can edit and post and stuff instantly on the website, which I think would be a huge improvement for everyone in the league. In addition to that, I set up a new text email alert system
mm-hmm.
for our parents and coaches and officials, where I manage a website, and parents and everybody who wants to can register their phone numbers or email address on the website. Then whenever I send out news or announcements, they go straight to their cell phone or their email, which I've gotten great feedback on. I've tried it on my own phone. I get the messages in about 3 seconds. So mm-hmm. Just another way to communicate with people, instantly or very quickly. So hopefully I can build on that, and we can bring it on in the spring and in the future years. In addition to that, we do have a Twitter. It's at GraceAct Sports. I've been updating that a lot lately. It was kind of down in the dumps before I got on, but I've got it back up and active and running. So I've gotten some good feedback on that as well. And then don't have this yet, but want to get it on Facebook, create a page to like.
You just read my mind.
The social media concept is just growing. It's not stopping. And, it's just another easy way to communicate with people and even kids. They're all over Facebook, and they can go check out GraceAct whenever they want. So just trying to find every way possible to communicate with everybody, making it as efficient as possible. And hopefully making the league better because of that.
There's nothing more thrilling than seeing your son or daughter on Facebook, in a picture on Facebook, mm-hmm. doing something heroic, with the Catholic light on it. It's an incredible thing. And I think it not only obviously builds community within our own schools, that we're all in this together, because you're showing a Holy Spirit person or student, or you're showing a St. Stephen student, but also giving the child or the student such self-confidence, that they had their picture scoring a touchdown or making a basket or holding a trophy or doing something heroic. And I would highly recommend that you proceed with that, because I think it's a wonderful tool, not only to uplift who we are and what we have, but to showcase it to outsiders. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime we can showcase our young children, and they're showcasing their talent and skills, and just becoming, just growing in their faith and as a person, is a great opportunity. We want to continue to spread the word of what we're here for. And like you said, it's just very exciting for a kid to see themselves performing well, and it's just good for everyone involved, and definitely something that we're going to move with forward.
Yeah, I think you're making light of your job. There's a lot more to what you do. I know that you've got the scheduling for the league, which he nods humbly. You can't see him from home, but yes, I as a principal, I've been to many of the GraceAct meetings, and I know that you're position has been dreamt about for quite some time, has been wished for quite some time, and with the wisdom of the diocese and the generosity of the bishop, this is happening finally. I know that, that has been something that our GRACEAC League has been missing, and that is that one person to do all those little things that need to get done. So many good, willing volunteers, coaches, and ADs from across our diocese for years have been trying to get all of that themselves, you know, the scheduling and what do you do when someone has to call a game? What do you do, you know, when there's a snow date? Who makes that call? How do you get a hold of everybody? And so we're just delighted as can be. As a principal, I want to tell you, very delighted that we have you on board, because you're taking on a big role. And it's a role that's been much needed, and we're just so happy that you're here.
Well, thank you very much for those words. Like you said, scheduling is probably the most difficult thing I've come in contact with in my few short months on the job. We've got all these different schools. I think there's like 29 Catholic schools, and we've also added some Christian schools for our basketball season, which is our busiest season, I believe. And just trying to put together all the no play dates and no host dates from all the schools, and they're, you know, it's different for everybody. So you just got to try to find a way to make it work, and a lot of moving parts with the scheduling. But
right.
I definitely think it's something that has improved this year. I've been told that it was better this year than it was last, and
excellent.
Hopefully we can continue that in the future. Hope to be a little bit more involved in the schedule making. Right now I'm currently just kind of take on the role of changing the schedule when it needs to be changed, but I want to be a part of putting it together as well. So, like I said, it's a interesting job to take on, but one that I embrace because I like to be the planner. I feel like I do a good job at it, and I want to help this league in any way possible. So definitely excited about scheduling in the future and getting it all on board in the same place.
So schools turn in their schedules to you. They set them up, or you set them up? How do you schedule?
What happens is that before the season starts, we send to all the athletic directors a document so that they can mark down their no host dates and no play dates. No host dates are for the schools that have a gym and are capable of hosting basketball games. They send us all the dates that are booked or, you know, that they cannot. They also put down no play dates that their teams might not be able to play on if they have like retreats or other. Midwinter break, for example, is this weekend. Some teams aren't playing because of that. So then they turn that into us, and we have our list of teams in each league, and then we put the schedule together day by day, trying to get teams, usually about 7 to 9 game schedules. Want to make sure everyone gets, you know, the same number of games. The problem comes when the week of the game, someone's gym has been double booked, and we're forced to find other gyms, which creates the problem of trying to contact all the teams involved, the officials and coaches, making sure we can, first off, trying to find a new gym in short notice, or having to cancel and reschedule for a later date, which makes things difficult trying to fit everything in a short month schedule. Fifth and sixth grade is usually the first session in November to January.
Right, end of January.
And then 7th and 8th is January to March 7th, our last day this year. So that the no play, no host dates, they do help. They definitely do help, but just need to fine-tune that a little bit and make sure maybe we can get like a master calendar on our website with everyone's dates on there so
right.
we can see in advance, or just make sure that the schools and their athletic directors are – looking at everything that they're planning at their school, so we don't have these type of problems. But they are very minor problems when you come to think of it, and we've handled it really well lately. So
that's wonderful. And is there a fee to get into the games?
There is a slight fee for parents, $3 for parents, seniors over the age of 60 or $2, and then all students considered grade and high school are free.
Oh, excellent. And the majority of games, football is Saturdays during the fall, or is it also on Sundays?
As far as I know, there are no Sunday games in any GRACEAC sport.
That's what I thought.
So I would believe football is mostly on Saturdays, Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoons.
Okay.
yeah, we do not play any games on Sundays, just due to the fact that we are a faith-based league, and we think it's important for now that kids, the faith is the most important thing on Sunday, so we don't want to interfere with anybody performing or acting out on their faith like that. So all games are Monday through Saturday, no Sunday games.
I'm really proud of our diocese for taking that stand.
I agree.
I have to say, I know that you could go either way. A lot of coaches would probably say it'd be a lot easier if we could play and practice on Sundays. It'd open up some times for us and some gyms. But if faith is truly first, then we really have to consider Sunday being a day that's just not for anything else. And I'm very proud of our diocese for taking that. You know, you're a product of Catholic schools, which I think the three new positions, all three positions, are products of our Grand Rapids Catholic schools. It's exciting. But you, in particular, have done everything that you're now in charge of.
That's right.
You know, you were an athlete for Catholic Education for GRASAC. You have coached. You've officiated. And now you're like the head cheese.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Climbing at your age.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I think what's going to be beautiful about watching this unfold is you've been in the place of all of those in this league. You've been in all those places and you really understand from all different aspects how this works and how this needs to be. The one thing that you haven't done yet is be the parent on the bench.
That's right.
At least
not
yet.
Nope,
okay.
Not yet.
Nope. So for those parents who sit on the bench, any advice for them? Because I know sometimes at games, and we try very hard as administrators, and I know that our parents try really hard to make sure that the sport is as faith-filled and as representative of our faith as our classrooms are. But at times, it gets a little contentious out there. If you're the guy sitting on the bench, any advice for parents?
Well, at the end of the day, first as parents in the stands and a parent coach on the sidelines, I just wanted to remind them that at the end of the day, it is just a basketball game. It's just a baseball game. It doesn't really matter who wins or who loses. The sun will rise tomorrow, as my dad always says. So,
wise man.
That's right. You know, we have competitive people in the league, and, you know, everyone doesn't play not to win. You know, everyone wants to win, but I just want to remind them that, you know, it's not a big deal if you don't. Many life lessons are learned from not winning. You gotta learn how to respond to adversity, just continue to get better, learn from your mistakes. There's just so many things that you can actually learn more from losing than winning. So I just want to remind them when they're upset or they don't like some of the calls going on in the game or they're not happy with how the game ended, that it'll be okay. Everything will be all right, mm-hmm. and they'll have another chance to go out there and play. But, yeah, that's my main message for coaches and parents in the stands. As an official, I take my fair share of some heat in on the court, but we don't make every call. We don't see everything. You know, we're certainly not out there to favor one team over another. That's not our job. We're just trying to call as fair a game as possible and just make sure everyone's safe. And I think that's the most important thing, make sure it's injury-free and safe and that everyone's enjoying their time on the court and behaving in an appropriate way, especially for our GRASAC league.
Mm-hmm. You could easily approach your job from a athletic director standpoint, and I can hear your faith coming through in everything that you're saying. You're very much right for this position because I can hear in your voice the need for wanting to make sure that this league stays Catholic, stays, you know, Christ-centered. And that's very reassuring to me as a principal, but I would hope very reassuring to the parents that are listening right now, too, because that's what we're all about.
Very good.
Exactly. I agree. And I didn't think until you said that, Susie, that, Conrad, you can empathize with everyone in every role, because I'm sure you've sold that bag of popcorn, too, as well as refereeing, as well as coaching, as she said. And you really understand the position that people are in moments of duress or moments of joy, having been a very emotional basketball coach. And you can ask our superintendent one of these days about that. I coached his daughter several years ago, and I was quite demonstrative in my coaching. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think maturity helps a little bit on that end for me, but it is just a game, and it is an opportunity to teach our children about working together for a higher cause, doing something important, but also realizing that there's more to learn in a loss than there is in a win. And what I enjoy now, which did not happen back when I was a coach, is that there are schools that are combining. So a St. Stephen's and a St. Thomas, or a Holy Spirit and another school, it's a joint effort where you actually are bringing people from different cultures, because a West Side school is very different than an East Side school. But when they team together, it really bridges a gap. And eventually, they'll all be together at the high school level anyway. So I think it's genius on whoever's part, and I'm sure you had something to do with it, with combining of schools to do that. So I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, merging is a great thing for everybody, I believe. You know, we have some schools that don't have enough numbers to form their own team, so we make sure that the kids who do want to play have a team to play on, which is the most important thing. So we try to do it based on mostly location, I believe, making sure that just helps with practices and games and travel time and stuff like that. But, merging is a great thing. Just allows more kids to play that otherwise wouldn't be able to play in our Gray Sac League. And like you said, we've got kids from one school playing the sport they love with another kid from another school, you know, just making new friends, parents meeting new parents, traveling to different schools and just meeting new people and just seeing things from a different perspective, per se, maybe from different sides of the city, like you said. But everything's it's just all good when we can come together, as you said, for mm-hmm. for one cause, and that's our faith, and then to play the games that our children love and watch them, and on the court is just it's just a great thing for everybody involved. And you brought up your point about, parents and coaches again, about just behaving the right way. And that was one of the main things I did when I was trying to coach. And what I do as an official is I try to remind people that, you know, we are the example for what we want our children to be. You know, they're going to watch everything you do and they're going to mimic it. So if they see their parents in the stands giving officials a hard time or screaming and yelling, they're going to do the same thing. You know, that's just how it works. And, you know, when I was coaching last year, I told my parents before our parent meeting, and I said, if you have any problems, just let me know, but I can't have you acting like that in front of people, because I don't want the kids on this team to grow up like that. I told them that I truly believe that you are a product of your environment, just like, you know, growing up in a Catholic education, I believe I was a product of that environment. And same thing with our kids in this league. I want them to behave in a professional manner, if you might want to say that, as young as they are, but I'm on them to act the right way and just play the game it's meant to be, and have our parents and coaches lead the way as an example of that.
Speaking of parents, how do parents get involved? How do they say nowadays, you know, hey, I might be a good coach? What does a parent do?
Well, the parent, if they want to coach, can be directly accessible to the athletic director.
And every school has one?
Every school has one, yes. If they have any problems trying to get in contact with their athletic director, I'd be more than happy to help them coach a team. We're always looking for volunteers to help coach our kids. A couple things that we do require of our coaches is we do a virtuous training, which is when you have to take a one-time 3-hour class about how to behave appropriately when you're with children, especially when you're alone with them. We also have some concussion training that is a new state law, actually, by the state of Michigan, where you've got to take a little video and then a quiz to make sure you are aware of the awareness of concussion these days and how mm-hmm. big of a deal it is. So
it is a big deal.
Those are some of the things that you are required to do to become a coach. But once those are fulfilled, they're one-time things, and we're all set. You just gotta come show up and show the kids what they're supposed to do.
That's excellent. And what about a person like yourself? You said that you were roughing at the age of 16. There are a lot of true leaders in our Catholic schools, both in Kalamazoo Diocese and Grand Rapids, that I think would be amazing on the court. How does one become a referee of any of the sports or a time person at a track meet? How do they do that?
Yeah, once again, I'm really involved with the basketball officials, having been one, and I know most of them, and I'm in contact with the scheduler of basketball officials. So the other sports I'm not as clear on yet, which I'm sure I will be soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But any person that has any interest whatsoever definitely can contact me. My contact info is on the front page of the GRASAC website. I would be more than happy to get them involved and to make sure they get in touch with the right person. We do usually make sure that all of our officials are MHSAA certified, which you do online through the Michigan High School Athletic Association, just to make sure, you know, they know what they're doing and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But yeah, we're always looking for officials. Anybody who would like to just continue their involvement in the games that we play and in this league. There's a lot of good officials, a lot of good people in this league, and I'm always looking for more volunteers.
Excellent. And then my last one, Susie, I apologize, I'm dominating here. But kids from smaller schools, you mentioned them a few moments ago. You know, you have a student at a very small school that won't make up five on a basketball court. How do they connect? Who do they talk to in their schools to say, I want to be a part of a basketball team? You know, what do they do?
Well, usually how it works is the athletic director, before each season, fall, winter, and spring, they'll take down everyone interested in that particular sport, and they'll build like a little spreadsheet with their numbers, and they'll send it to me now. It used to be the Wolves, Nate and Bob Wolf, have been very active in GRASAC and will continue to be. But then once we get all those numbers, we kind of just try to see where things will match up, who fits best with who. And make sure that they're on the appropriate teams. I believe we also have a league meeting before each sport season starts, and that's kind of where mergers are finalized, make sure that every kid's accounted for and making sure they have a team to play for. And, that's kind of how the process goes with mergers.
Excellent, excellent. You said a name. May I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
You used Nate Wolf. And he is he and his family are parishioners, and they attend St. Thomas, the Apostle Catholic School. And we will be hosting their family shortly because they were involved in the Purple fundraising.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Could you please tell us? We were at our faith rally at the end of Catholic Schools Week. Our students, Jenna and Jeremy Wolf, handed a check for how much was it for?
$3,000.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah. That's incredible. And that's what Catholic Schools sports does. You know, I mean, right there teaches our children just how, I mean, even in the athletic arena, you can be helpful to others. So how did that idea come about? How did you kind of take it forward from there?
Well, I can't take credit for that. I believe Nate Wolf was a big
opponent. Instrumental.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He's actually the GRASAC president, so he's very, very involved in the GRASAC League and does a fantastic job. And
yes, he does.
He's just taught me so much and helped me a ton in this first few months, and I can't thank him enough for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was the main person involved in putting this together. We actually had the games at Aquinas that day.
Which was exciting.
Yes, just in their brand new facility, which is unbelievable, mm-hmm. fantastic. I got to ref the games there that day, which included mostly, I think there was a St. Thomas team in every game.
Yeah.
And like you said, they were sporting purple jerseys, and they had a little stand out in the hallway before the game or, you know, during the games that had all this purple gear that was going towards, was it like a cancer type?
Van Andel.
Yes. Van Andel, yeah. Yes. And we had St. Paul team that they were playing was wearing purple undershirts.
Cool.
Yeah, everyone there was helping the cause, and like you said, it was just great to show our kids, you know, that kind of value and just teaching them at this young age what it's all about. And it was just a fantastic day all around. And thank you, Aquinas, for having us, and hopefully we can do something like that again in the future. I thought it was just a great event.
Yeah. I would suspect from the success you will.
Yeah. I tell you, I know a little insight on that story, and that is that Janet and Jeremy, the two students, 7th and 8th graders, this was their dream to do this. So they luckily have Nate as a parent, mm-hmm. and we're able to work through him. But I'll tell you, when you see student leaders like that take on something that big, it's exciting.
That is even more awesome that the kids brought that up and wanted that to happen and made it happen. So testament to them.
Do you see trends in your sports? Do you see larger numbers now towards lacrosse? Do you see less numbers towards football due to the concussions? Do you see more basketball players? Do you see more cross-country runners or long-distance runners? Are there sports on the horizon for the Grace Act? Because primarily we're talking football, basketball, baseball, and track. Is that correct?
We also have soccer.
Excellent.
Softball. Tennis. You mentioned lacrosse, which is a new sport, relatively young to everybody. It's booming though.
I bet.
I've never been involved in lacrosse my whole life, but now I'm in charge of making sure our kids are have lacrosse to play. So I've been learning so much about that the past few weeks in particular.
That season's coming around the corner.
Oh
right?
yes. Lacrosse starts. It starts the same week and practice start the same week, but it seems like we actually have to do lacrosse with an outside league just because lacrosse, we don't have enough numbers in our own Grace Act to field our own league. Mm-hmm. So we do work with outside members, and they put it together a little bit earlier than the other sports do. So we are very active in lacrosse right now. We actually, our 5th and 6th and 7th, 8th grade boys lacrosse programs have just joined the Lakeshore Conference, which is a good move for our program because they're all grade-based instead of age-based, mm-hmm. which is going to be a big difference as far as the size of the players and playing kids who might be a couple of years older than you. So it'll be a great, great move for our program. We're very excited about it. But, yeah, lacrosse for girls as well. We have a 7th, 8th grade lacrosse girls team, and they'll be playing in the same type of format they've been playing in with some schools on the east side of the city, and we're very excited about that. It should be a great season. Football numbers have been a little bit down, mm-hmm. From what I understand. I'm not too involved with football yet, mm-hmm. but I did hear that the numbers might be down. I'm not sure if it is because of the concussion, like you said, that might be playing a role. Definitely, I can see that. I can't say if those kids are playing soccer now, if those kids just aren't playing sports. So something that we'll just have to continue to look into. Our football league has considered in the past of maybe doing something different as far as maybe combining all the West Side schools and combining all the East Side schools, since they'll be playing together in high school anyway, and then playing outside leagues similar to lacrosse. But that doesn't seem to have moved on as far as that's what I heard. So we'll continue to monitor football and make sure that everyone who wants to play football has a football team to play for and go from there. But adding sports is definitely something we want to do, especially in our winter season.
Right.
Our winter season right now, we offer girls and boys basketball, which is what 95% of the kids play, and competitive cheer, which is relatively low numbers on that. So what we want to do is we want to be able to offer more sports, specifically in the winter season, like wrestling, swimming, or bowling, or something like that. What happens is when these kids play basketball 5th through 8th grade, then they get to high school and everyone goes out for the right. freshman team and only 15 make it. And then all the other kids who don't make it, they don't know what to do with themselves because basketball has been their life the past four winters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, or earlier.
Right. Could have been played earlier than that. So we just want to continue to offer or look into opportunities to offer our students as many opportunities to play different sports as possible. You know, if someone's calling is bowling and they're not being able to play bowling in our Grace Act League, I think that needs to change. I want to make sure that everyone has that path to find their potential and their calling. So, you know, that's something that we're gonna try to improve on and make sure that they have as many opportunities to showcase their skills and develop those skills as possible.
That's excellent. And so things like swimming, bowling, those are on the horizon for the GRASAC division so that students have the opportunity to shine in areas or to learn more about them, because you're exactly right. I had a basketball player from 4 years of elementary school who wasn't one of the 15 and became a swimmer. And who knew that would become his passion? That was something that he was very, very good at. So it's nice to know that we are preparing those children not only for high school, but for beyond, because as I was reminded continually, being very athletic as a youngster, by my mom and dad, who were golfers, which I want to ask you about, basketball and football are things that you only play for so long in your life, but there are sports that are lifelong, like swimming or bowling, golf, certainly. And is there talk of a golf within the GRASAC at all? I mean, you've got some.
He's just grinning ear to ear.
Yes, exactly.
Put him
exactly.
In the hot seat.
Because that is, again, something that at the high school level and beyond, and a lifelong sport, that is a real possibility for a lot of students.
Right, right.
They're golfing now.
Yes, you know, that's for everything right now. Whatever we don't offer, someone is. So
right.
If they're not doing it with GRASAC, they're doing it with somebody else at however old they are, whatever season they're in. They're going to do, you know, what they want. And so, yeah, it's up to us to make sure that we can look into those types of things. For golf, I haven't heard too many whisperings of golf going on in GRASAC yet, but I don't see why it's not something that we can look into. Just another opportunity to get kids together and play the game they love and represent their faith while they're doing it. So, absolutely, that's absolutely something we should look into. And as you mentioned, those sports you can play for the rest of your life, like you said, basketball and football, they take a toll on your body, and you're not going to be able to play those your whole life. So we want to make sure that we show kids what kind of things they can do to last their whole lifetime as far as recreation.
Mm-hmm. What do you see on the horizon? What do you think? What would you guess if you were to guess what maybe might be a next edition?
Next edition for GRASAC?
Yeah.
I would hope that it would be more sports in the winter season. Okay. I think that's a big thing. Because one of those 15 kids that didn't make the freshman basketball team, that was me. And I didn't do anything freshman year after didn't make the basketball team. So I want to definitely try to do that. That's one of my main priorities, is just making sure that everyone has more opportunities to find more sports to play. And because I think everyone should always be I think it's healthy to play a sport.
It is.
Not a lot. Don't overdo it, but my parents always told me you should always try to do one thing per season, just to, you know, keeps your mind off things. I just exercising and clearing your mind and stress. And I just think it's so good for kids to do that, and everybody in general.
Well, and also being part of a team. For us, you know, we didn't have those athletes in our family that were going on to Division I schools to, you know, get that scholarship. But what they benefited more than playing time was, especially I'm speaking at the high school level, is the concept of team. You know, it's something to be a part of something, especially, which I want to ask you in a moment, especially when that part of something is going to state, to regionals, to whatever, which you mentioned at the very start of our interview with you, that you had the opportunity to work a little bit at West Catholic. So you've been with that green machine that's rolling across that goalpost, or over that goalpost,
yeah.
It seems like. Dan is one of the individuals I want to reach out to and invite to our radio show. My husband tells me all the time, you got to get Dan Rohn on that radio,
yeah.
Because because he is obviously producing winners. Mm-hmm. And he's not only producing winners athletically, I believe he's producing them as young men who are going out into our community to profess their faith and to do good in the world. And they're happening to use it with a green uniform, you know, backing them up. So what do you think his philosophy is? How is it that he creates such winners year in and year out?
Well, let me just say that Dan, Chris Abbott, and Sue Armstrong, they just do such a great job at the West Catholic Athletic Department. Mm-hmm. I was so thankful that they allowed me to come intern under them. I learned so much and opened my eyes to a lot of things. So I just want to thank them for that. Dan certainly has something special going on at West Catholic right now. It just seems like you go in every week and you don't expect them to lose anymore.
Right.
And that's an awesome thing. I never played for Dan, but from what I hear, he's just a constant worker, just a gym rat per se, just always watching film, always studying, just football, and you know that's what makes him so good is he just puts the time and effort into it. And I don't think many people outwork Dan, and I think that's what has made West Catholic a very successful program since he started, and hopefully will continue to in the future. But yeah, Dan's just done a great job at West Catholic, and very, very happy for the success they've had.
That's excellent. Thank you.
We're blessed right across Grazak having such wonderful coaches. We've got, mm-hmm. I mean, even at the elementary level, there many times they're, you know, volunteer positions, mm-hmm. and they show up faithfully every day. I know of one coach that drives in from Lansing every day. You know, he works in Lansing, lives in Grand Rapids, and has to drive back and forth every day, but he's there for practice. And it's just inspiring when you see that. We had a coach, Jim Enns. I don't know if you're familiar with Jim Enns, was a coach for St. Thomas. And I think he probably delivered a Christian message better than any religion teacher I've ever met to his team. His team fought hard out there on the football field because he inspired them to honor Jesus with what they did. Mm-hmm. And I think all of our coaches must somewhere inside of them be catechists because they inspire kids out there not from necessarily always a sports outlook, but from their faith. And we are really blessed. I think it's what makes Grazak so amazing is that it's just a bunch of very Christ-centered people willing to give of themselves.
And give of their time, exactly.
Of their time for children to help bring mm-hmm. them closer to Christ and to help them celebrate Christ in their game, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We have so many great coaches and parent volunteers who help run this league and coach our young kids, and they do such a great job with that. You know, like you said, if they're here with the Grazak League, they're probably here for the right reasons, and they want to help, you know, lead our youth into the future with our faith-based center. And like you said, driving in from Lansing, they just work so hard, which makes me want to make sure the schedule is correct for them, and there's no changes that they're missing. So
no pressure,
yeah.
No pressure, Conrad.
They deserve it. They deserve it. So that's my job to make sure they have everything they need and that they have that in a timely manner. But like you said, there's just so many things outside of sports that you can learn from being a part of a team and leading kids and being on that field that, you know, just the life lessons like accountability and responsibility and facing adversity and meeting new people and just so many different things you can learn. And it's just a great experience for everyone involved. And I hope all of our students who do want to play, I encourage them to play, and hopefully they learn a little something new about the league and sports, but a little something new about themselves as well. It helps take a look at your soul and mind, and just figure out what you want to do and what you're all about.
That's awesome. I have a second follow-up question after this one. And with all of the good things that you've shared and all the good things that you're doing, and I mean that sincerely, are there obstacles in the way? Is there anything that you think to yourself, oh, man, if I just didn't have – is there anything that prohibits some of the – things to proceed as they should?
I would say the number one obstacle for the Grazak League is the AAU or travel type teams. They,
I was going to ask you about that.
They, it creates quite a conflict, not only for the parents, but the kids. You know, sometimes the kids are forced into a decision of where do you want to play tonight? Do you want to play for your St. Thomas team or do you want to go play for your AAU team? Which I don't think is necessarily fair for the kids to have to make that decision, but I don't also think I would not recommend putting your kid in that position. When I was playing, I was told I could only play on one sport per team or per season, just based on commitment. You commit to one thing and you better be there for all of it. You're not going to bail on it for somebody else. Once again, another life lesson to learn with sports, that commitment to your school. And, you know, going to school with your friends and playing on that team, it's not something that you're going to be able to do that much longer. I mean, you got fifth through eighth grade, and then if you're lucky enough to play in high school, but then once that's gone, you know, you're not going to be able to play with your classmates or teammates anymore. And I always think that AAU thing is going to – it'll be there. It'll be there on the side in the summer if you want to go do something like that. But there's nothing more special than playing with your school and playing with the classmates you see every day and your teachers and your coaches. And just – I can remember so many memories myself of when I was at Holy Spirit playing and all the great friends that I met and still talk to and the memories we created playing sports together. It's just awesome. It's one of the reasons why I came back to this league and – I want to give back to the league that helped give that to me. So definitely want to encourage kids to play for their school and, represent their school and, you know, why they're going to that school again for their Catholic faith-based education. And but, yeah, the AAU circuit and travel teams are probably the main obstacle we face.
I was a basketball player many, many years ago when you were just a twinkle in your mom and dad's eye, actually, not to date myself. But I will tell you, we did not – AAU was not – that was not an acronym that we knew even existed, you know, because it was all for one and one for all. And I have vivid memories of my teammates and I who – we made it as far as regionals for Catholic Central girls basketball back then, but praying the memorari mm-hmm. and being there with our team, that is something that as I go through photo albums or as I send Christmas cards or whatever, I remember those moments. They're very exciting times and something that I'm very proud to have been a part of, as well as our track team that went to state and took a medal home. I was just going through because we're doing some rearranging in our home, had that little box of all those little track medals. And my name, just so you know, Conrad, is still on the wall in the Catholic Central Gymnasium.
Oh, wow.
My maiden name was Boylan. So you'll have to sometime look up and see what I'm up there for. But it's a record yet that no Catholic Central young person has been able to break. So
oh,
it's
wow.
been a long time.
Very nice.
But I appreciate what you're saying because it does put our students in an unfair situation where we're asking young people to make a choice. And those choices may seem very easy for a person looking at it, but it makes a big difference for the team morale and for the word commitment. You know, I mean, you're really torn. That athlete's torn because they want to be committed to both, but those, whoever they don't pick, doesn't feel like the commitment's there any longer because they didn't get that person on that night.
Correct. You're absolutely right. And in addition to, you know, being tough on the kid to have to decide, what about the kids on the team that they decide not for, you know?
Right.
So if you don't decide to go play with your classmates that night, you know, what does that say to them?
Mm-hmm.
That they're, you know, they're not that important or that you have better things to do? So that type of message is something that we don't want to support, that type of message. And once again, anytime you can play for your school and represent them on the court is just a fantastic opportunity. And we encourage players and parents to understand that and support that message as well.
So with that question, I said I had a follow-up one.
Yes.
5 years from now, when we're talking to you again here in the radio studio, tell us, what will you want to be talking about then? Where do you see it going over the next 5 years, the GRACEAC League? do you see happening?
I just hope for the Graysack League, just a lot of expansion and growth. That, you know, that's one of the main things that the bishop had actually created these jobs for, just creating an expansion of growth for our Catholic schools and kids in that. And like the other two people who were recently hired, Dan and Annalise, when they're out there trying to go to get kids to either stay at Catholic schools or to bring them in, I want to provide them with, you know, just an added bullet of why, just an advantage of why you want to come to a Catholic school, and that's a competent athletic league. Make sure that everything's fine-tuned. There's no disorganization. I'm really, really very. I need to be a communicator. Yes, a structure. Exactly. I'm a really structured person. Everything
Why
I
are
do
you
is
perfect for this job.
Exactly.
So everything I want to I do is resolved around a structure and a communication and organizing and planning. And I think that's a main thing that needs to be just fine tuned. I mean, it's not a broken system they have. It just needs to be fine tuned a little bit and improved on. So that's a big thing that Graysack will improve on in the next 5 years. And just once again, getting more kids to play sports, offering them more opportunities to showcase their talents. For example, another way we're getting students to play is the parish members of a church who don't attend the school are allowed to now play on the sports teams, which I think is a great thing. Just getting more kids in the door, more parents in the doors, showing what we have to offer as schools, and as well as, you know, kids meeting new kids. You know, next thing you know, they want to go to school with the kids they're playing sports with. And sports have become a very important aspect of people's lives. And right or wrong, kids want to go to school where they have strong athletic programs. So we want to make sure that we have a Graysack League that's accommodating to that level and just shows people what we're made of.
That's excellent. Yeah, it sure is. We got to finish up here in just a few minutes, but I wanted to ask you a quick question, and this is going to be kind of a goofy question. But you are a product of Catholic schools, and you Correct. Went to Catholic education, like Betsy and I both. We've all been called home.
That's right.
And I can't imagine myself working anywhere but in Catholic schools. I mean, I know I've talked with Betsy enough to know she, too, can't picture herself anywhere else. And I'm assuming you're going to very soon, if not already, realize that you've been called home for a reason. Is there anything in your Catholic education that resonates still with you, something that called you back?
Well, I just believe that, you know, everything happens for a reason, that God has a plan for every one of us. I graduated in last April, and I really had no plan going forward. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be in sports, but I had no idea like where it was going to take me. I was randomly working at a West Catholic football game this past fall when the athletic director from St. Anthony just approached me and said, "Did you know that there's a new Graysack athletic director position?" I was like, "Not a clue." He goes, "Well, I think that's something that you need to go for." I was like, "Wow." I mean, I would have absolutely had no idea that position was even available if she didn't tell me. And I mean, once again, happened at my Catholic high school and a Catholic AD. I do think it happened for a reason, and I'm very glad it did. I'm very happy to be back in Graysack and giving back to this league, and I just couldn't be more excited for what the future holds for us.
That's exciting. Yeah. You know, often I picture our Lord up in heaven, kind of kicked back with a big old smile on his face, like, "See, you know, I put all these things in motion, and look at them all just, you know, falling right into the plan so beautifully." I do picture that because I know there's just been too many times in my past, and I think in other people who are connected closely to Catholic education, that we've been set on a trajectory, and we get called back to give, and we get called back to just immerse ourselves back in the faith again. And you're certainly in the right position, Conrad. We're very glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
Well, we'd like to thank our listeners for joining us again this week on Unapologetically Catholic, and invite you to join us again next week, where we will be interviewing yet another wonderful person from our Catholic community.
Thank you,
Conrad.
Thank you.
Thanks
very
for having
much.
Me, guys.
You You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.